Hey, Alex, it's time for a fucking noise.
Boys! I actually said it earlier than you this time. Oh, who gives a fuck?
Yeah. So I went to Boise again. It was like the last 3 days. Like, oh, yeah, we'll record a podcast. And I just didn't. Fuck it.
Well, to be fair, our recording setup specifically needs us to have two different tracks of audio. I think it would have turned out like shit if we did.
I think it is funnier that we were both literally in the same house for 9 days and we did not use your recording. We waited until we got home in our individual states, fucking 6,000 miles apart from each. I don't know how big the United States is. I'm not a geography scientist. Like 6,000 miles away until we're in our respective homes to record again. We are nothing if not professional.
Yeah, dude.
So, speaking of professional, Alex, I want to talk about this first and foremost, because this was a lot of fucking fun to watch. So when we were in Boise, it was fucking hot a lot of days, or we were very lazy. So we didn't do like a ton of shit on some days. Some days we just fucked around and watched Netflix. We watched American Vandal. American Vandal, Alex, would you agree with this sentiment? American Vandal is just Phoenix Wright as a TV show.
Well, it's Phoenix Wright if Newgrounds made it or something.
Yeah. For those who don't know, American Vandal is a show on Netflix. There's two seasons. The first season is about who drew the dicks, and the second season is about the poop bandit, the turd burglar. It is a true crime spoof show where these two high schoolers try and figure out these crimes that aren't like, no one dies. It's just very much like stupid, dumb shit.
Who drew the dicks?
Who drew the dicks? Hashtag don't forget the ball hairs. So it's fucking awesome.
The conspiracy theory. The janitor drew the dicks.
Yeah, that dude's... All right, so I watched this with my roommate, John, and I was like, oh, dude, this is great. The part where they were in the swamp and they had a 3D like animated layout of a dude getting a hand job broke me. I couldn't function for like an hour afterwards. Me and Alex started taking fucking notes on who we thought did it.
Let me
see if I can.
Well, while you're looking for the notes, I'll explain. So the show is a shitpost on crime dramas and shit, but like, it actually is still like a crime drama in itself. So it still wants you to figure out the fucking mystery behind the goddamn dicks. It's really fucking fun.
Yeah, it captures that, like you compared it to Newgrounds, it captures that fucking, early internet irreverence in a really good way. Like, you know how Homestar Runner captured the, so random. It captured that in a really, really good way. This one just gets that specific type of humor, and it never lets you go from episode like 1 to 9. There's not a lot of episodes. There's like 10 per season or something. It's fucking awesome. I don't have the notes. I don't think we took notes for the first season.
We did for
because
the second.
I think we were just taking it in, taking the dicks. But the second season, I have my fucking notes here. We would pause it and update my journal on who we thought was like, so the second season, and this is a spoiler for some of it, we won't say everything that happened, but the second season, there's the turd burglar, and what he does is there are incidents in this school in which something happens with poop. The first incident you're introduced to is that someone put something in the lemonade that made everyone in the school just start shitting. There was, and then like there's three incidents. And so what we started doing is we started thinking like halfway through, you know, I think it was like episode 3 or something. I like took out a pen and notepad. I was like, okay, I'm writing down a list of suspects. Let's figure this shit out. So we had like the three incidents, and then we had our list of suspects. What was the little dude that you were pinning it on early? What was his name?
Oh, fuck. What was his name? He was the little basketball
Squeak.
Player. Squeak. That's it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I won't spoil it. But basically, I was all in on one fucking individual because it seemed so perfect. But once again, they fucking smacked me in the face. They got me. It was legitimately really fucking good because I don't want to say it, but it's so good. I did not expect this fucking shitpost of a show to turn out as entertaining as it was. My favorite scene, by the way, was from the first season, where it was just fucking, it had to be my partner, because he loves dick. There's nothing more he loves than big penises. Of course he drew them everywhere for his love of cock. Really? that's your thing? That's what you did for me? Yeah. That's your best fucking shot? Yeah. It's such a stupid fucking show.
There was a lot of really, like, there were red herrings in it, like the mozzarella sticks. The mozzarella sticks didn't end up being important, but, like, those were something I fixated on. Like, the mozzarella sticks are what brings everything together.
Well, yeah, because it's mentioned as a close-up, and it's used in the opening, so you think it's going to be more important.
Yeah, I have, let me check my notes here. I have one... 2, 3, 4. We had 4 or 5 suspects that we were looking at. Like, okay, this person had access to 1 and 3, but there's no way we know of that they could have done 2. That we were like planning it all that. We're like, okay, who has access to this area? This guy and this guy. This one does it unless, and then shit like that. Like, I have 2 pages of notes that we took trying to figure it out, and one of us, me. Had the right idea. I had the right idea for what was going on to keep it as spoiler free as possible. But I picked up on it like early. Like, when did I first mention it to you, Alex? My theory. I didn't guess who it was, but I had a theory.
You're doing it around the interview with the basketball player. That's when you started piecing it together. Third one of his interviews. So they interview him a lot.
Yeah. Mr. Untouchable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's American Vandal is fucking great. Watch it if you haven't. It's on Netflix. I want to say it's from some people that were from College Humor. I heard that somewhere, but I don't know if that's actually true or if I'm just spouting horse shit. So, what was it? We also watched Breaking Bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I tried to get into that. You didn't seem to be as into Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I watched it. You know, I was paying attention to it. I wasn't being lazy, but like, yeah, all right. I can see why it's popular, but it's not really my thing. I'm gonna keep talking. One of the things I really liked was Jesse. I like that Jesse you constantly think is gonna get better, but he never does. So he really keeps the edge of your seat like that. But I think my issue with Breaking Bad is just like, I don't give a shit about any of the characters because they're all assholes. And it's not in like the funny way. They're just like, oh, I kind of want all of them to just die.
Alex, you, this also came out between Noise Boys, but, you're kin with the cart narcs. You just want everyone to die. You want all these lazy bones to just be killed.
I mean, hey, we already talked about this in one of the random episodes before, where it's just, if you become a cart pusher, you will learn that anime villains are completely correct and the whole world is pointless, vile, and disgusting, and all humans should be wiped out.
Speaking of which, fucking, so, okay. Now I am like Typhoid. I'm like Typhoid Mary over here, because in the midst of this pandemic, I went to one of the busiest airports in the United States, which is O'Hare in Chicago. I went there to go to Boise, and man, let me just say, real good maintenance there, O'Hare. You know, as a vector point, I had on my plane there, I had 2 girls sit next to me because of course they packed us in like fucking tin cans. 6 people in a fucking 7-foot area, and they had no mask. Some guy came down and like kept bugging them, like, hey, why don't you have a mask? Do you have a paperwork? Do you have a medical condition? He was like feeding them the answers that they had to say for him to leave them alone.
Yeah.
When they just didn't say anything, and then they muttered out medical condition. Mm. And he went, okay, all right, that's all. Okay. And then he walked away. So he didn't give a fuck. There was an old guy on the other side of the aisle who took his face mask off to sneeze and then put his mask back on. So that was really cool.
Best.
You know, it takes 2 weeks for symptoms to show, Alex, and it's been about 1 and 1/3. So,
see, another thing that was really fun that we did that was really safe was you went to a fucking water park. Now, let me tell you something. 1, that was a bad idea. 2, Tad got fat shamed at like half the rides there. We couldn't go on half of the shit because Tad was so fucking big.
Yeah, it's not fair. You know, I'm here. I'm like, oh boy, I sure. Oh, I drive up there. You know, I'm eating my corn dog and my stick of raw butter.
well, I sure can't wait to go in the water. I sure love H2O.
So I fucking go on the rides, you know, I'm happy as a clam, you know, I'm doing Fortnite dances as we get up there. And then at the very top, and Alex, you remember this happened exactly like this. I get up to the top, and then this man in a full black outfit with skulls on his caps and a red, like a red band on his arm, started shouting at me in German and told me I couldn't go on the ride. He kept saying, "Du hast so much fat." I didn't understand. So, Alex, it's not because I was over the weight limit of 250 pounds. It's because I wasn't a fucking Nazi like you. You went on the ride just fine, but I actually respect myself.
So there was this really fun part where we went up this fucking long ass line, you get to a ride, and there's a scale up there. Ted was too much weight, but like I'm like, wait, but you're fine though. They point to me. I'm like, oh. And I look at Ted and get on the thing. Do you know the little, like, the horse? It's like, see you at the bottom, dude. And I rode down the fucking slide without him.
At the bottom of there was, I swear to God, this happened too. I went down the steps, you know, after, you know, as you went down, actually, Alex, you didn't do the horns. You started doing a Nazi salute.
Oh, fuck
in
off.
In accordance with the ride operator.
Fuck
and
off.
And as I got to the bottom, there's a bunch of these shirtless dads that looked at me and straight up said, ah, so you too, huh? And they all had, like, huge beer bellies. It was horse shit, Alex. Also, one of them was complaining. He's like, I had to pay full price for my ticket, and I can't ride half the rides. And I'm like, you know, I understand, like, water ride physics, so, like, I'm not going to be a little baby about it, but, like, you know, maybe let's just not go on this ride. So that was half the rides you couldn't go on. Thanks a lot, Alex. You weighed too much. If you would have just weighed 100 pounds, Alex, you would have been fine.
Now, good news is, unfortunately for Ted, I learned that I actually lost some weight since I last weighed myself, so that's pretty cool. Now,
another
bad news for me, though, is that because I was so skinny, I had to go on, like, the front side of each ride, which means I had to fucking ride backwards. I fucking hate going backwards on water slides. It freaks me the fuck out. I had to go backwards on literally every single one. Freaked me out, man.
The best one was,
Avalanche.
It was, well, yeah, but the one that was the best was, there was, like, this one that was designed for 5 people to go on the ride, so it was just me and Alex. And, you had to go backwards. And as we got to the very bottom, it hit the water, but the physics of how we were sitting made it so that I just bowled over into Alex and almost crushed his fucking nuts.
Yeah, I saw that coming, though, because I have fucking, like, Shulk level foresight, so I immediately jumped out of the way.
You had Shulk foresight of shing crunch.
A vision! A vision is a CBT video.
Ah, no. You started hearing that music, the fucking, oh God, what is it? Fuck. There's like a specific song that's used for all those cock and ball torture.
I know what you're talking
like
about, but I don't,
those videos.
Yeah, but I don't know. I know the music, but I don't know the fucking name. Someone in the comments.
Yeah, your Spidey sense was playing, and you heard that.
But
we went on a fucking avalanche ride. We went up it like it was like
4 times.
It was like 6 flights of stairs. And went up there, and it was one of those rides where it was like a giant U. And you just went down and you fucking flip-flopped. It was scary as shit. That was scary for me going face forward. Alex had to go backwards each time.
Oh, I hate it. I hate it so
much. How did that drop feel going backwards?
Fucking terrifying, because you can't see, so it fucking scares, like, it makes your inner fucking, like, core just, like, shit itself.
You go full SpongeGar.
But another thing, so... You probably realize, hey, wasn't that a bad idea to go to some, like, really fucking jam-packed place? Yeah, it was. So I've been sick for the past week after fucking going there.
That's what you get, Alex. See, I'm built like a majestic walrus, so I'm not sick because I have these layers of protection.
I have been sick. Like, I was on vacation. I used PTO, but when I got off of PTO and I was, like, sick as a dog, and I'm like, I don't want to take off because I literally just had a vacation. I'm just going to work while sick in this incredibly dangerous environment. Fuck it. So that's what I was doing the past week. By the way, I'm getting better, so it's fine. I don't got the Rona, but if I die, I'll let you all know.
I might have the Rona because I also exposed myself in another really dumb way. A couple weeks ago, I went to visit my brother in St. Louis. We went there, you know, we were up out and about doing whatever dumb shit. I decided, hey, you know what? Fuck it. Let's go to Six Flags. I go there, I buy my ticket, and the person up the front's like, no, you need a day pass. You don't need a season pass. You need to go buy it from this person. I go over there, you know, they tell me I have to go to this other place to buy it. I go over there. They tell me I have to go. They keep like tagging me around places. So I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. I go to like guest services again, and I'm stuck in line, and it's a really long line. They got like one dude working it. And this lady, this mega Karen, king of the Karens, shows up and spends 45 minutes bitching about how they gave her the wrong Superman cup. She wanted the, like, they gave her like the Kryptonite cup or something, and she wanted the Superman cup. And I played 3 games of Runeterra on my phone in that waiting line before I told my brother, fuck this, and we just left. And we drove go-karts. So during the middle of this pandemic, I went to 3 different airports. I went to St. Louis Six Flags, and I've basically just been exposing myself to the worst possible. The only thing that could make it worse is if I went to go visit like a nursing home and just started like spitting on all the doorknobs.
So anyway, we're taking this pandemic very seriously. We even got our sissy hypno masks at a fucking Rite Aid.
Shut off.
Dude, the government's making us wear the masks. So we become
femboys. We went to a movie theater to see Ghostbusters, actually.
Okay, can I just interrupt really quick? Because this is something that pissed me the fuck off.
Is it about the fucking sissy hypno masks?
No.
So, fuck off.
No, it's not the sissy hypno joke, but it is mask related. So I'm going to be real with you guys.
Burka, I call it.
I'm going to be with you guys. I haven't been wearing a mask at all because I don't care if I die. But my friends gave me shit for it. They're like, Alex, wear the fucking mask. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to argue because honestly, it is right. I know it's right. I just don't care, right? So I'll wear the fucking mask. So I wear the fucking mask. I go to the movie theater. And like, whoa, Alex, why did you go to the movie theater? I'm like, I got a mask. I'm like, bitch, it doesn't keep you safe at a movie theater. I'm like, bitch, how the fuck's it going to keep me safe at work? There are 4 whole people in the movie theater. There's 1,000 people a day at my work. Bitch, why am I wearing it?
We went to see fucking Ghostbusters because I'm like, oh, I'm not going to pass up the ability to see the original Ghostbusters in a theater. And this very large man, he yells at me and Alex because we're talking during the previews of Dr. Doolittle, which came out like, I don't know, 7 months ago. Like, not even like, they're not even like old previews. It was like the new one with Robert Downey Jr., where it had the swelling epic music for a man who could talk to a squirrel. And this dude has the audacity to whip his phone out 3 times during fucking Ghostbusters. Who does that? Who goes out of their way to go to a movie theater to look at their phone during the best movie ever made? The fuck's wrong with you?
You're still mad about that guy, huh?
I am livid. You know what I'm surprisingly not livid about? Paper Mario and the Origami King. Now listen. Listen here, folks. I'm a Paper Mario shill, right? I took the Paper Mario swill that was Sticker Star and Color Splash. Sticker Star is the worst video game I have ever played until the very end. Like, I played it. I played Color Splash, and I got, I don't know, like 4 chapters in before I couldn't stomach it anymore. Origami King. I bought it. And let me just say this, Alex. The game has soul.
We lost him, everybody. He's become a full-on shill.
I'm always a shill. I'm only a shill for things that are good, though. Origami King. Okay. So playing like, you ever heard of Pavlov, Alex?
Yes.
Sticker Star and Color Splash. Playing those has made me associate, like, you know how the dog would drool when he heard something. So like every time the bell went off, he started drooling. Paper Mario was like, every time I heard Paper Mario, I just became like a seething monster foaming at the mouth. So when I got Origami King, I was ready. I was fucking ready to throw a fit. I was ready to take a picture of my broken Switch on Twitter. Really own them. But no, game's actually legit really fucking good. Because here's the problem. So, it doesn't have the traditional Mario combat. It has ring combat. But that is not the only way that you interact with enemies, unlike in Color Splash and Sticker Star. What you do with enemies is there's an area of the game where I was watching someone on the Discord play it, and he was in like a restaurant, and he opened a door and he tipped over a thing, and there's a bunch of papercraft Goombas in there. And I'm like, okay, he's going to get into a fight with all the Goombas. Instead, they fold up into little cockroaches and hide throughout the restaurant. Then he has to go over and he has to smash him with his hammer. And when he smashes him with the hammer, it doesn't... In Sticker Star and Color Splash, you would hit him with your hammer and then go on into combat against a single enemy. And then a minute and a half later, combat would have been over and you could go and get the next one. In this one, you just bop and you do it. You just bop, bop, bop. It's similar to Super Paper Mario in that it is a light, emphasis on light, RPG. The battles, though, are like the ring battles. They are, so it's the ring battles are set up. It's basically a puzzle of how can I finish this in one turn? And the game emphasizes this by like, there's like a really fucking bopping battle theme that when you get a great lineup, which means you got to kill them in two hits, or a perfect one, you could do it in one. The music like starts booming and it gets even louder and shit. And they add extra instruments. Like it gets wild.
Yeah.
But there's like, I only got to the start of chapter 2 where you get the bomb partner, and like, there's a shitload of stuff I've done. I've been to like 6 different areas. And the areas aren't super long, you know, they're like maybe 7 screens, but everything about those areas was like different. Like, I'd talk to NPCs and they'd have these weird, there's a bunch of little tiny moments. Like, oh, here's this moment that only lasted 2 minutes. But I still remember buying the gem from the Monty Mole, who wanted to sell it for $10,000. And I told him no, and it went down to $5,000, and then $2,000, then $1,000, and then $500, and then $10.
What?
Like, I still remember that, because I just kept telling him no. Because Mario could be an asshole again. You could just be a total fucking prick.
Now,
it's got soul.
Well, you showed me a couple things of this game, and I gotta say, the battle theme was bopping, and then you get like the Japanese one, which is just like, it goes in so hard for no reason. It's such a good fucking track. Now, I gotta ask, you said the partner. Do the partners help fight?
I don't know, because I stopped playing at that point, because I have a bunch of school stuff to do. But like, when I got to the Bomb guy, he was like, my name? Yeah. I'm Bob-omb. And then you have like your like papercraft partner, Olivia. And she's like, oh, nice to meet you. You know, like, and then he says something about wanting to join the quest. She's like, hey, do you want to come with us? He's like, I don't know. I'm just normal Bob-omb. I ain't got anything special. And he continues talking. She just goes, oh, yeah, you're right. And then she just goes to look out the window and the game's silent for like 10 seconds. So he like inches over. He's like, so about that, you know, can I join? I just told him no. And for a minute, it just waited until the end of the ride. No one said a goddamn thing. You could just keep being a fucking prick. There's a lot of options to do it. Apparently, I read something about like, they're not allowed to make original character races and shit. I don't know if that's true or not, but I read it somewhere. I'd have to follow up on it before I said it for sure. But I'll say this about the game. I'm waiting for the other foot to drop where the game just takes it, homestucks me, you know, where it hits a certain point and the quality just drops to like -500. If that doesn't happen, then this might be my actual favorite Paper Mario game I've ever played.
But Tad, that's not...
More than the original, but, more than Thousand Year Door.
But that's the wrong opinion, Tad. That's not what Twitter and Reddit say.
I'm ready to get crucified for this, because Origami King is genuinely a really fun game. And it's the first time I could say this is a really fun Paper Mario game since fucking 2005 or whatever, when Super Paper Mario came out. So I'm ready. I am ready for like chapter 3 to just like devolve in quality and the game becomes a shit show. And I'll be like, oh, damn. Oh, well, it was fun while it lasted. Hopefully that doesn't happen, though. I'm really liking it.
So, speaking of video games, I also went and played some fucking video games of my own. I went and I beat Nocturne just in time for them to announce the HD port. Now, I'm going to make this really quick so I don't go on a huge fucking rant. I really, really, really like Nocturne, but holy shit, half of those dungeons can kiss my ass.
So, okay, how do the dungeons work? Are they just like a maze with random encounters?
Yeah, basically. It's pretty much, that's a... good way to fucking say it.
Can you turn random encounters off?
No. You can't. Oh, but you have a stoma, which lowers the encounter rate, and if the enemies are too low level, they just won't fight you. The combat won't initiate. So you can kind of filter your feeds so you only fight good enemies. If you were watching me stream it through Discord for my friends, The final dungeon was a real pain in the fucking ass because the encounter rate is really, really high. So I put Estoma on, which again lowers encounter rate. I fall down a pit. I'm like, God damn it, I have to climb all the way fucking back up. Run, take two steps, fight a fucking like group of Rangdas. God damn it, take two more steps, another fucking fight. Oh, okay, fine. I walk down the hallway, turn right, immediately another fucking fight. It was pissing me off so much, and I never run from an encounter. I ended that game at level, like, 80 fucking 6. I was destroying everything because I was over-leveled, because I just kept killing. But, I did True Demon Ending, before anyone asks. Yes, I got the Super Pixie, I got all that good shit, I got Dante from the Devil May Cry series. I never used him, though, because he kind of sucks.
Is that where the sticker...
Yeah.
With featuring Dante from the Devil May Cry series. It's from SMT.
Yep, from SMT 3 Nocturne. Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne. I really like the way 5 is looking so far from the whole 1 minute teaser we saw of it. It looks like Nocturne
SMT
2.
SMT 5 fans, when they see a 1 minute teaser from 3 years ago, woo! SMT fans now, when they see a 1 minute teaser, woo!
We're winning, bros! But it looks like it's going to be Nocturne 2, which is really cool. That's probably why they're re-releasing Nocturne. But anyway, another game that I played that was that I have a lot less positive things to say about it. I want to talk about Nocturne maybe in its own episode because I can go on for a while and it's positive. This is a game I could shit on, so we're going to leave it right here in the Noise Boys. I think Indivisible sucks shit.
Alex, no, that's the wrong opinion.
No, it isn't. Everyone agrees.
Oh, okay.
Fucking Indivisible. I remember I talked about this game a while ago. I finally went back and beat it literally yesterday, like last night, like 12 in the morning. So as of this episode, just not that long ago. Yikes. Let me describe this game. So it is a game that is obnoxious in the bad way. not in the funny Han way. It's just like the first
thing. Obnoxious because everyone's not white.
Oh, dude, that was so based. You ever hear of 4chan, Dad? No, fucking...
The Chan.
Indivisible is, like, the main two characters, and I say main two because Razmi might as well be a main character, are so fucking annoying. Every cutscene, the first, like, half of the story, because basically it's six areas you backtrack through 20 fucking times in two halves of the story. The first half of the story is Ajna, and it's the Ajna and Razmi show, where Ajna's like, man, fuck these guys. And then Razmi slides in, yeah, fuck them. And that's just like, yeah, fuck them. And then Tarani's like, whoa, Luke Sao, don't be so mean. And she's like, yeah, fuck them. And then Razmi comes in, yeah, fuck them. And that's every cutscene for like 10 hours of gameplay. It's just those two saying, fuck you.
Which one is Razmi?
That's the Hex Maniac ripoff with the fucking orange tiger on her head. You know, the one that everyone likes. And I have a little game theory of that's why Razmi is basically the second protagonist, is because everyone really, really liked her while the game was being funded. So they put my theory is that they made her a way more important character to the story.
Makes sense.
She's in every single cutscene after she shows up. And I'm not even kidding.
The biggest problem I have with, and I couldn't, all right, so me and Alex are walking to like Walmart or something.
Shut up. Oh my God.
I couldn't remember the name of the game. I was talking about, I'm like, Alex, what's that game? You know that game with, like, the diversity hire game? I couldn't remember. Now, Alex, I will defend myself by saying that wasn't me. That was Shadow Tan. I genuinely couldn't remember. And I'm like, I know it has diversity. Like, I didn't want to say, like, diverse game because I don't think that would work. So I just said diversity hire. Listen, I haven't had a fucking sip in, like, 2 weeks. You know, I was stressed from sitting on my butt and watching Breaking Bad. You know, it was a long day. I had to go to Walmart. I don't even remember what we were getting. It's probably fucking wine for your wine aunt.
Yeah. Okay, so I was giving him a lot of shit for that. I wasn't going to bring that up because it was a little too base and red pill, but fuck it. He did it for me. Ted called it that. And I just kept going like, Ted, what the fuck are you talking about? He's like, you know, the game, you know, with none of the characters are white. I'm like, Ted, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, you know, that platform game made by the Skullgirls guys. I'm like, Indivisible? Why is that the diversity hire game, Ted?
I just genuinely couldn't remember its name. I knew it had the word, like, it had, like, something D-I-V. And I'm like, diversity? I think it's in diversity? Listen,
anyway.
I'm based, okay? I'm based in Red Pill. Look at me go.
Ted, you're the fucking gamer in finger quotes that people fucking shit on. Anyway, so the game is bad not because it has brown people, Tad, but because it's a poorly designed game. Here's how the gameplay works. You platform around and shit, and you run into an enemy, and then you do a little turn-based RPG kind of thing, where you just smash every button on your fucking keyboard like a like button, and you murder the fuck out of the enemy. There's this cool extensive combo system, but I don't know if you're watching me stream it, but I played as Tungar, and I hit down attack a lot and just killed everything. Tungar fucking frags. You get him really early, if you don't miss him anyway, and he just does so much goddamn damage that literally no other character fucking matters. The fucking player's protagonist also sucks. I hate her attacks. She has shitty combos. And you can't swap her out. I hate Ashna. I hate Ashna a lot. She's a bitch. She's dumb. And she's not even fun to play. Fuck you, Ashna. I cannot believe that you are the fucking protagonist of this fucking story. Notice how there's a lot of people who really, really liked Indivisible. And they were talking about like fan art this, fan art that. And then the game comes out like for a year and that's all gone. It's almost like that character's fucking unlikable or something. Anyway, part two of the story is, spoilers, Dar, the best character in your party, fucking dies. And so now you're like, oh man, maybe I was kind of a bitch this whole time. So you have to go back through, backtrack 20 more times through all the areas and doing everyone's side quests, which takes 6 fucking hours, and talk to every NPC and be like, oh man, I'm sorry for being a bitch and fucking everything over. And they're like, bitch, you gotta do more than fucking apologize. And you're like, yeah, oops. So then you fucking do all of those side quests again. Then you climb up the fucking
you're gonna
tower.
Do more than apologize. I need 4 apples. I need 3 wolf pelts. Was it fucking shit like that?
No, it's more like run to this one like obtuse spot on the map and fight this recolored enemy. Do this like 6 times in each map for every character's side quest. And I did every character's side quest. In fact, that's what I was mostly streaming because I was at the end of the game when I picked the game back up. And I was just doing every character's side quest. There was one of my friends said, like, Alex, this is looking a little more like Death Stranding than a platformer. Because enemies don't respawn. Like, what happens is when enemies, like, there's a set amount of enemies. Say there's, like, 10 enemies in this area. Then your lore power-up happens. Because you level up in air quotes, but you never really level up. What happens is that every time you get a new move, you, like, ascend your fucking chakra gates Naruto style. And you get a damage and health upgrade. And then a new wave of enemies respawns, you dig? So I was at the end of the game where I basically killed, at that wave, I killed every enemy. So there's just me running around fighting, like, one mini-boss. Running to the next area, fighting another mini-boss. Running for like 10 minutes because there's no easy fast travel. Run it all the way to the next area.
You know,
it
Alex,
was so
this game
boring.
Doesn't sound like it has very diverse mechanics.
This game blows chunks. It's really fucking tedious and it's really boring. The combat is not like hard or engaging, especially when you get the defense upgrade where you heal every time you perfect block, so you never need to use a healer. Also, some enemies are just immune to magic damage and heal from it, so like you're never going to use a magic damage dealer after you fight that enemy. Because, like, I mean, there's a 50-50 chance that this enemy is just going to fucking full heal if I use Razmi or Tirani or something, so like, fuck them. I'm just going to do physical damage forever. Also, the final boss, cringe. Heckin' cringe. Fuck you. I'm just gonna spoil it. Fuck you, Mike Z. You think you're so fucking clever. Ooh, look at me. I'm gonna make a boss that you can't fight back with. Ooh, remember the beginning cutscene where you had to block all your dad's attacks? Well, now you have to block all of these chest attacks. Oh, it's so cinematic. Ooh, we're not gonna give you any tells to the attacks. You're just gonna have to die 3 times to learn how the fucking boss works. Ooh, I'm Mike Z. Ooh, oh, what? She revved up backwards and did a fucking 300 hit multi combo with the perkit parry? Oh, you saw that coming, didn't you, Alex? Ooh, I'm Mike Z. Ooh, I'm gonna hit on girls awkwardly like a nice guy. Yes, I friended you because you're a girl gamer, and no, I'm not like any of the other guys. I'm Mike Z. Ooh, fuck Mike Z and fucking Indivisible. Game sucks, I hate it. But it's got really cool couch co-op, and I'm gonna give it credit where it's due. What you do is that you can do streamer roleplay for this too. When you platform around, another player will play as one of the other characters, and they can move around and jump around and shit. And when you're in combat, they get to control that character. It's actually kind of sick. Not gonna lie, you got me. And also the new game plus reward where, spoilers, that was a spoil ending. Fuck it, who cares? My friends keep telling me not to spoil the game and they haven't played it for a year because they're fucking dumbasses. Fuck you, fuck all of you. You ain't gonna play this shit, it sucks. You go fight the final boss and you fuse with her and then you reincarnate as some chick with purple hair. So in new game plus, if you play the game, you've got purple hair now. I thought that was kind of cool. You got me on that one, Mike Z. But, fuck it. Fuck
Mike Z
it.
Got
fuck
a
Indivisible.
Lot of people. In fact, he got so many people that Evo got canceled.
No, well, Mike wasn't part of that. Mike didn't diddle no kids like the Smash Bros. Players.
Yeah. It was
Mike
Mr. Was Wiz. Just, Joey Cooler or whatever.
Mike Z is just a weird nice guy. He's just a creep. He has not done anything wrong other than just be cringy and dumb. And I've actually... Yeah, rent free. Hold on, let Mike Z live rent free in my head. Eons ago, back when I backed Skullgirls' squiggly fucking bullshit, the old campaign... I was watching their streams because I was really into Skullgirls, right? I loved the art. I was watching one of their streams and they're making like Big Band or whatever. And Mike Z was on the stream talking. Only I remember this. It's like that fucking manatee video. Oh, one night it was just me, but I saw it. I saw it. Mike Z was on stream talking with one of the voice actresses. I think it was Miss Fortunes. Uh-oh. I don't remember. It was just talking about it where. She was talking about how she is like a legitimate dominatrix or whatever. Also, fun fact, I guess. Just there's that information for you. Mike Z's like, oh, really? Well, I'm kind of submissive. Why don't you want to hook up right over there? I'm like, Mike Z, what the fuck are you doing? Like, because like someone else is just doing art on stream. They stop and like, Mike, what are you talking about? It was like so. It was so awkward. It was like, you know that bit in Paper Mario where you say no to the Bob-omb and you just look out the window for like 10 whole minutes? It was pretty much like that. Like, everybody just stopped talking. But, like, no one seems to ever bring that up when they shit on Mike Z. So I'm gonna bring it up.
Maybe it was
fucking
just,
weird. I saw it. I didn't dream it. He was just awkward.
I shit you not. I swear to God this is real, guys. I saw Mike Z try to hit on someone on his stream. It was really weird. I fucking
one
swear
night
to
alone.
God.
One night alone, there's only me and two other viewers in the chat.
There was a manatee. I swear to God, they took that manatee with the damaged fin. The manatee video Alex is thinking of is from The Onion, I think. It's yeah. Like an Onion video that I saw two manatees. It's from Horrifying Planet. Look it up on YouTube. Onion has fucking fantastic videos.
Okay. So anyway.
Let's talk about
back
Evo.
To Evo. Yeah, Evo. Yeah. So, turns out Mr. Wizard was taking pictures of little boy penises. Nice.
Yikes.
He's been doing that for 20 years. So Evo got canceled. He got canceled, rightfully so. And Evo's already kind of fucked because of the whole Corona thing. So it was doing Evo online, but now Evo's just kind of dead forever, really.
Yeah, I mean, because if it was just the Smashers and it was just him. Being a fucking weirdo without like the actual awful shit he did, Evo might have come back, but like all this combined now, I think so Evo is the number one people who play video games but don't play fighting games know that Evo is the big fighting game thing. They know that. They don't know about Combo Breaker. They don't know about what's the one in Florida? Is
CEO?
That Combo Breaker? Yeah, they don't know about CEO. They don't know about those other events. They, you know, they might know Capcom Cup or, you know, for a specific game, how they usually have the world tours and shit. Do you think that one of the other ones are going to kind of gamers rise up and take over Evo's spot?
Maybe Combo Breaker, whichever one's in Florida. It has to go to some place that has a big population. But Florida is also like Corona Central right now because people are dumb. So like, eh.
I think Combo Breaker is in Chicago. And then CEO was Florida or something, but
yeah, I think so.
Because there were so many fighting games that had like shit that they were going to show at Evo, and I mean it's been a month now and they still haven't like. Well, it's been like 3 weeks. I was really looking forward to watching some of the more obscure games at your house, like on Twitch.
Yeah,
you know?
What was really cool about Evo Online is because it was online only games with good netcode were allowed. So they had shit like Them's Fighting Herds out of nowhere got to be a main Evo game because it has good netcode.
Yeah, and then, I don't know. I mean, I'm sad, but I'm also very bad at Dragon Ball. But I was going to enter it and say, like, hey, look at me. I'm an Evo. Technically, I already entered Evo for Smash Bros. I got 0-2'd in the pools and got kicked out.
See, I went positive at Evo both times I went there. The first time because I had two DQs. Wink.
It's fucked up, Alex.
The second one, though, I was legitimate. I was legit. I won. I got my positive. And that means I did better than, like, thousands of people, which makes me feel pretty good.
Wasn't one of your friends up at a pool against, like, a legit player?
Yes. It was Walrus. He had, like, fucking... Shit, who did he have?
Was it Long Island Joe or something? Like, Chris G? One of those
I think it was Chris G, because it wasn't Taquito, but he had one of the, like, big-name guys. He just said, well, I'm fucked, that's cool, thanks. He himself didn't fight him, I don't think, because I think he got O2'd anyway. But, like, he was never going to get out of pools. He was dead. He was doomed. Because he was going to go up against fucking, like, Daigo or something. He's dead. It's over. It's done. Fucking,
destroyed.
Christ. So, what really, really sucks about this, though, is just how big
how
the
pervasive.
Smash Brothers community was with this shit. Because, like, Mr. Wizard was just the, like, Evo guy, right? Him being like, hey, want some more arcade tokens? Well, let me see your little dick. Take off your clothes, wink. Haha, just for laughs. I just want to see if you have a big dick or not. Haha, smile.
God. Why are these people like this, Alex? Why is it always video gamesmans?
Okay, so I watched the whole video about this, even though I already knew the answer, and he just pretty much reaffirmed.
Can I take a guess? Is it because video games are for fucking children?
No. That's part of it, though. So what it is that, like, the guy describes it, and this is pretty much exactly what I said, and he just kind of articulated it better, because I'm not intelligent.
Oh, so this is in regards to him and all, like, the kind of Smash Bros. Stuff?
This involves the Smash Brothers thing and the Mr. Wizard thing. Basically, what happens with these video games, let's say Smash Brothers, because Smash Bros. Is a perfect example of it. With Smash Brothers, it's a nice, popular, like, multiplayer kind of game, so people get together to play it. You got these parties, and these, you know, the friendlies, they call them, instead of casual sets or whatever. But because of, like, say, Smash Brothers...
Let me just say right off the top here. Smash Bros. Terminology is now taking on a very dark meaning when I look at
some of
those...
I'm gonna hit you with those messy guessies.
Ugh. 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 I'm sorry, go ahead.
So, you have these big parties or whatever, and there's a huge age, disparity, I think was the word I'm looking for?
Yeah. You have your 25-year-olds, and then you have your fucking 15, 16-year-olds.
Yeah, so, like, one guy described it perfectly. It was, I've been playing Smash Brothers since I was, like, 18, so I've grown up playing Smash Brothers, but I've never mentally grown up. So, like, you're 28, but you still think like you're, like, 16 or some shit because you've been playing the same fucking video game. You've never really grown up, right? So when you're hanging out with these, like, 16-year-olds, you mentally don't actually see the problem with it.
You don't, it's hard for you to take a step back, oh, I'm playing with, like, children, which isn't technically wrong as long as you're not trying to make them suck your dick.
Well, speaking of people trying to make you suck your dick, you see, what happens is that people, okay, so another one, I'm going to use an example. This guy's that one dude with a huge beard, that huge, like, liberal guy who, you know, low-key, kind of making a lot of sense. He mentioned...
Oh, Jesus, Alex, where is this going?
No. He mentioned that people who play video games, generally speaking, are solitary kind of creatures. They don't get a lot of sexual activity, right?
Uh-oh.
So...
Uh-oh.
But no matter what happens, when you become relatively popular or famous, even if it's not, like, huge famous like anyone at the street, but, like, you go to a gaming convention, you're famous, right? Suddenly, you have this attention that you never had before, and no matter what, if you're popular or famous enough, people are going to naturally want to fuck you just because you become, like, a story to them, right? So now you have these gamers, in air quotes, these, like, 28-year-old dudes who still mentally think they're, like, 18 or 16 or whatever, right? Then, who've never had any sign of sexual attraction felt towards them, now all of a sudden you got all these fucking young, ripe children all over them saying how much they want to fuck them because they get to tell all their friends, oh man, I just fucked down Zero, the fucking greatest like Bayonetta player ever, right? So now you're like, well, I've never had anyone say nice things to me now, but now I got all these ripe young ones all over me.
Stop.
And so it leads into this whole bullshit. Because again, you're like an influencer. And also, if you want to just be, that's being the nicer way to say it. If you want to just be more predatory about it, you can just be like, hey, because I'm famous, hey, you know, put your arm on the wall, the fucking anime thing. Hey, we should go to my room and play some friendlies. You know, just me, you, alone in my room. Ugh. You young, like, 15-year-old girl.
All I'm thinking about, Alex, is that image that is like, what does your Smash Bros. Main say about you? And it's just like, which article of the law that you're going to be breaking for fucking assaulting a child? don't look at the fucking Jigglypuff players.
So basically, I guess the TLDR is that people who play video games, Tad, generally, don't get laid a lot. Because video games, you pretty much play by your fucking self. You just sit down, right?
Yeah, you sit in a fucking chair and you play a video game, as opposed to, like, I'm just giving an example, like, if you went out and you played fucking soccer, you know, like, you're outside. Number one, you're outside. Number two, you're meeting a bunch of people in real life, which, yes, you can form online internet relationships that are very tight-knit and shit, but there's a difference between meeting someone in real life and just through the internet. I mean, there's a difference that's pretty important for, like, our Unga Bunga monkey brains, you know, that I think some people just completely overlook and don't, like, oh, you know what, I'm fine. All my friends are on the internet. That's perfectly fine. You know, it's kind of fine, but you're missing out on core things that your monkey brain needs. So they go ape shit once they actually fucking nerds are fucking awful. Alex is basically what I'm saying here. If you're a nerd, fuck you. Unless you're donating to my Patreon, in which case, keep doing it.
What I've learned from, you know, this whole Smash thing, hanging around in V all the time and, you know, doing it and just talking with people, I've learned that sexual frustration really does drive the monkey part of our brain fucking crazy. I don't really get it of why just like, well, I can't get laid, time to murder, or I can't get laid, time to statutory rape young minors. There's this massive logical leap that I just don't get, but apparently it drives people insane. I'm happy that I got laid, so I didn't turn out bad.
There's two things that motivate us to do anything. Being really, really mad or wanting your pee-pee touched. Those are the only things that our monkey brain cares about.
Well, it likes dopamine, too.
Those are the only you get dope. Okay, the third one is getting banana, I guess.
Monkey sees action.
Yeah. Based or cringe, that's all you get. Like, that's what our monkey brains want. We want to do things that get us that sweet, sweet banana, and you can get that through being really mad and doing something, or being motivated to do a thing because you want your banana. You want your banana to get touched. Like, that's how we are. We're fucking we're sponge guards. We're monsters.
Caveman logic. Ooh, me play good Smash. Me now want to fuck 15-year-old minor. Ooh, me run fighting game tournament. Hey, let me take picture of your pee-pee.
Grug give you arcade coin if you come to cave to play Smashy Washy. You want to play Super Rock Brothers.
Hey, want to do some real life messy guessies?
Alex, we should have had like the list. You know, hold on a second. You know what? I'm going to do this live. Smash Bros.
I only know friendlies and messy guessies because they're the dumbest ones.
Okay, let's look at the Smashipedia page. Okay,
we're making lighthearted jokes about statutory rape. Everybody,
can I just say Smashipedia? Yikes, that's a fucking word. Hey, bro, you want to check out these stale moves? Edge hogging.
I edge-hogged her last night. I didn't even ask for her ID.
What the fuck is a wall of pain?
Well, if you went to Twitter and saw what some people said about their accusers, I think they would give you a... I'm sorry, this is not funny. This isn't funny. I'm not funny. This is bad. We should probably stop doing this.
Oh, no, one of them is just called gimping. Oh, no!
So,
I hate this.
Listen. Take a drink every time I say either of those two words. Listen. This is yikes.
It is pretty yikes.
One of the things I wanted to bring up, though, before we went to the last like couple topics, was one of the things he said was that, you know, no matter what, if you're just mildly like popular or famous, people are initially going to want to fuck you. I've actually felt that, and I know you felt that too. We're not a big podcast, but I've had people just awkwardly fucking hit on me on the fucking Discord. I was just like, hey, okay, thanks.
I mean, for podcasts, I could see how people make the connection to stuff because podcasts are very personal. Like, you don't put on a podcast and then sit in your living room with four other people and smoke cigars and listen to it. You're fucking, like, driving somewhere.
You're grinding RuneScape.
Yeah, like, it is a direct... It is a personal conversation that you get to listen in on, pretty much. So, like, I can see how someone can kind of, like, their brain will kind of, like, go whoop and make that jump, you know?
Yeah, listen to us talking just casually like this in a Noise Boys and mistake that we are their friends.
I mean, listen, Alex, all of the fans are my friends. I'm just saying, you know, patreon.com/LMTYA, $2 up, you get to vote on things. Listen, I love all my fans. I will personally give you arcade tokens if you send me nudes.
Don't even joke about that, Dad. People are going to send you nudes on Discord. No.
Please don't. Okay, I need to close this Smash terminology page, Alex, because it's making me very uncomfortable to see some of these.
Okay, all right. So, peep this. So, another thing we did.
One of them is called leg breaking.
Oh! Okay, so, another thing we did. We went to a VR thing. Now,
oh,
I'm
yeah,
gonna say,
I actually forgot about this.
I didn't. Fuck you. So Ted calls me a Debbie Downer, a real Charlie cringe, a real piece of shit, because I don't want to do things. Ooh, Alex, I know you're sick and tired and everything, but like, hey, let's go to this VR thing. I know our ankles are exploding.
Alex. My calves are exploded because me and Tad went up fucking 95 flights of stairs in an hour. Ooh, boo, 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 boo. I don't want to go hike mountains.
Ooh, look at me. I'm Alex. I'm tired and I just want to spend all day drawing and get mad at it. Ooh, Breaking Bad. Ooh, David Lynch. Even Gillen. So,
oh, yeah.
Here's the thing.
Before we do the VR thing, Alex, I want to talk about Eraserhead and how you did actually finally watch a David Lynch film. Although you did stop to play Arknights a few times because I heard
it. I even went back in the movie, though. I went to take a piss. I said, no, back it up. I want to see what I missed. I watched the whole fucking movie and I was paying attention to it. Here's the thing about Eraserhead.
The baby.
Here's the thing about Eraserhead. I want to let you guys all know this. Eraserhead is the wet, dry world of movies. To beat me. Think about it. When you're a wet, dry world, you have this negative emotion aura. It just is a bum out kind of world. It's weird, it's gray, the music's weird, the background's weird, it's this empty ass town, it's desolate. It's just like a never ending nightmare you just can't wake up from.
I do describe Eraserhead to people like a 90 minute nightmare you cannot wake up from.
And Ted was doing this fucking skit. I was getting some granola bars from my pantry and Ted is like, this movie is a really like deep and introspective thing on the human mind. It's like a 90 minute nightmare you can't wake up from. It really goes on the inner workings of like sexual tension and whatever. He's like reading the back of the box to me by heart as I'm just trying to get like some snacks. Ted is a David Lynch like drone.
you don't understand, Alex. It's spooky. There was like a little worm and then the worm started dancing and it sounded like you were pressing really hard about cleaning a window and it was squeaking. It's about being scared, Alex. No, you watched the entire thing. So I was expecting you to go, oh, this is gay, and go back to hearing like fucking, I don't know what the Russian lady from fucking Fate, because she has only two voice lines that I have burned into my memory because that's all I heard the entire time I was over there.
Well, because I kept NP looping.
Yeah. I'll show you an NP loop, bitch. Actually, no.
Grabs 15-year-old child.
I was about to say, NP loop is a fucking, sounds like a Smash Bros. Term. Oh, God, even the word sex pest sounds like something that like an ice climber's loop would be.
Oh, he's hitting with that sex pest.
Anyway, what the fuck are you talking about?
VR sucked. Okay, well, I wasn't talking about Eraserhead, but we got that one out. Check that one off. So the VR thing. I don't have a VR headset. I think VR is dumb, stupid, and cringe, and like a gimmick, and nauseating. Ted's like, David Lynch, you haven't tried it, so you don't know. I'm like, Ted, it looks pretty yikes. So we go to this VR, like, arcade in Boise, in downtown. And we go there. Holy fucking shit. So first off, I was right about every single thing. It was buggy. It was nauseating, and I hated it.
Yeah, Alex was, he's one of those unfortunate people that, with those games where you move with an analog stick, his brain, like, his monkey brain just breaks. Like, it doesn't work, and he gets sick from it. I am one of God's chosen people that could just play Pavlov and move with the analog stick, and it's not a big deal to me.
So you couldn't see me? Because you had the VR headset on, obviously. But when we were playing Pavlov, I had to, like, stop and, like lean down and go, like... I was getting really fucking sick. We had our masks on. I had to fucking take it off so I could, like, breathe. I was getting so fucking sweaty and nauseous, dude. It was awful. It wasn't even, like, funny. It was just like, oh, God, I'm gonna fucking throw up. Oh, God.
I was getting sweaty, too. But that's because I would walk over and teabag you.
I even told the guy at the end, like, hey, do you guys have any Tums here? He's like, no. I'm like, well, this game was nauseating as fuck. You should buy some Tums for your fucking people who shop here. I think it's a good idea, by the way. Legit, like, hey, you had a bad time? Here's some Tums. I just wanted to get home.
What about the Sam and Dan flatmates? Did that make you sick?
No, but the game also didn't really work. I didn't do anything.
Yeah, that one was like a weird puzzle game where we're supposed to grab things and, like, set them down on
like
things.
Like, bug the fuck out. It looked promising, but, like, you know, shrug, whatever.
Did you fall in the water in that game?
No.
Jesus Christ, don't. Because you go underwater, and then a giant shark, like, swims at you and eats you. And when I did that, I accidentally fell in the water. I literally did the SpongeGar thing, and I just stood still for a second and looked around until the shark bit me, and I almost whipped around and hit the wall.
Scare ya?
My monkey brain just went, ooh. Like, I just broke for a second.
That's also the thing with VR horror games, if you ever heard about that, where part of the thing that makes like horror games or movies work is that you could like look away when you're scared. In a VR game, you can't because you're surrounded, so you freak the fuck out. Your brain just goes wild.
So the first time I put it on, there was like the Portal like tutorial setup, and I'm in the room with Portal, and then like the floor moves next to me, and I fucking jump, and it spooked the shit out of me because it was really loud.
I wasn't spooked by the Portal thing. All I did was start making balloons. Like I was like finger gunning balloons out and just like smacking them around at the stupid ball.
Yeah, see, it's cool.
Yeah, that was so cool. That was worth $1,000.
When I was playing one of the games, there was something below me, and I like got down on my hands and knees and tried to go down and grab it. And I'm like, why can't I? Oh yeah, that's right. There's a floor here. I kept trying to like get my hand underneath it and shit. It was fun.
The first thing that happened was you said that, oh yeah, I know it's only you guys two guys here today, but please don't swear. And so I see the robot, I'm like, hey, it's this asshole again. Oh yeah, sorry, I mean this butthole again.
I heard that, yeah.
I have a very foul mouth. I'm sorry.
I did this thing. So Pavlov is like Counter-Strike in VR. You have to like actually hold the guns kind of like how you do in real life. And if you drop your gun, you're just fucked. And I didn't know how to grab the sniper, so I tried to shoot a guy, and it shot out of my hand. And then Alex like walked up to me, and I just went, "Well, I like got down on my knees and put my hand behind, like my hands behind my head, and just waited for him to execute me because you can't go over and like punch people or anything either." It was fun. I'm excited for mine to come in, but I understand, like that is a legit thing that there's like a disconnect your brain has, which is why Half-Life Alyx has normal movement. Or it has the, like, you click and you teleport to a thing so that you don't fucking puke your brains out.
Oh, I almost forgot one last thing when you went to that stupid penitentiary, the museum.
Oh, yeah, we got to see someone who got put in prison for, like, 16 years because they were gay.
It was 5 years. There was this whole line of things you can just read about what they did. And the one that stuck out to me was he fucked a man, so he got 5 years in prison. I'm just like, nice.
My favorite one was there was a women's ward that was outside the main prison. And this dude just kept climbing this tree. Like, you remember that news story where it was about like a guinea pig who broke into the female enclosure and then just had like 400 babies and then died?
Yeah.
It was like that, where he would just hop like this tree and then jump in there and then get out before the guards found him again. It was fucking dumb.
There's a weapon museum in there with a bunch of guns and shit. And I was just taking pictures of all the guns that I recognize as waifus from Girls Frontline.
Yeah, I was like, oh, Alex, you're taking a lot of pictures of guns. And I was like, wait a second. Alex, are these anime girls? And I remember the attendant guy way in the back corner, like, looked up at me when I said that. So he fucking, you're probably like the 300th person to come in there and be like, oh man, this is like my MP40 anime wife.
I was talking to people who were in our Discord already know I was doing this because I was doing that live. I was just like, where is it? Where is it? There she is. I took a picture of MP40 because that's the only girl from Girls Frontline I even liked. Her and Yikes. Thompson.
I was just saying, there she is. You're being kind of cringe, dude.
Hell yeah, dude.
Now, it was kind of cool. I am definitely not like a weapons guy. I thought it was really interesting to see, like, because it was all donated by like this one dude. And they were all, like, in pretty good condition. Like, there was a bunch of swords and, like, pikes and shit. There was a lot of swords. Old-ass revolvers. There was, like a drum from World War I that had like, the Hun on it. Like, with his butt getting hit by the drum and shit. It was cool. Like, I'm glad we went in there. One, because it was air-conditioned. And two, because there was just a lot of neat stuff. Then we went to Buffalo Wild Wings, and I fucking shat my brains out later.
See, where Ted can handle VR and I can't, I can handle B-dubs and he can't.
Which one of those is the more valuable life skill? You be the judge.
B-dubs.
Only one of them is directly connected to fucking being a sex pest to kids.
I mean, Ted is ready for the singularity where we all go to the VR fucking the cloud and we're all running around. I'm in the VR cloud. And I just keep puking in real life.
You're eating spicy buffalo wings and puking them back out. And then you eat another one
with my VR goggles and my earphones in them and the fucking the dopamine gene being pumped into my veins. I sit in my like lounge chair in my cube.
You got your dopamine syringe injected directly into my tear ducts, doctor. Fuck. Speaking of tear ducts, I just want to mention this real quick. I got Prey from 2017. I got that like a month ago. That game's fucking great. That's the game where all the promo art was like some Asian looking dude who had like a super red eye. It's really cool. If you like Dishonored, it's Dishonored, but even more freedom in how you do shit. I played like an engineer dude. I didn't get any of the science ones. I didn't get any of the alien powers. I just kind of went by myself and my shotgun. And it was really fun just by playing like the most normie build possible with a shotgun. It was really cool. There's a lot of shit that happens in it. There's like 24 different enemy types. It's a hell of a game. I highly recommend it. I got it on Steam for like, you know, I got it on GOG for like $8, but it's definitely worth it. Is there anything else? That's everything I had on here besides the phrase beat 'em ups fucking suck. Why can't they make a good one? That's the only other thing I had on here. So
I got basically everything. That's Ted's trip. VR sucks. Indivisible sucks. Play Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne. It's a very good game. It's got an HD port. Buy it!
Last thing I say before I'm going to cut out the episode here. There's an episode of Joe's podcast, The Man With No Brain. That's a really, really fun podcast they've been doing. They're the same ones who did all the Malevolent movie stuff, which is really, like, really good. Genuinely very fun content. It started off where it was, hey, Tad, what are some of the dumb moments you and Joe have had? And then we kind of turned it. The Man With No Brain is a little bit unique, and it's like a comedy / self-help podcast where we just talk with Joe and get like, there's some goofs, there's some gaffes, there's some knee slappers, and there's some fucking chin scratchers, you know? It's a different kind of thing than these podcasts, which are just, haha, Alex, fart, calm. What if it was Bloodborne, but they said calm? It's different than that. If you are around your 20s and you just want something that's more introspective, the episode they did with me is going to be really good. It was like 3.5 hours where we just talked with Joe about tons of shit. It was a lot of fun to do. Their content's good. Go watch it. It's very nice. Ignore the car in the background. So you can find the podcast here, YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, all those normal places. I put up a survey on the Patreon for some future episodes that we wanted to do. I'll have the link in the description, or if I forget to, cause I'm a fucking smooth brain, It's on the Twitter and all that dumb, that stupid, stupid, dumb shit. Thanks for watching. And I don't have a funny phrase to end this one on other than just go watch Malevolent movies. It's very good. That'll be actually be in the description. I'll remember that. Good night, everyone. I love you. Send me pictures, viewers, and I'll give you arcade tokens. I'm Joey Cooler too.
Don't say that.
I'm Joey Cooler too. Joey Cooler.